Got a little technical question.
Okay.
When we say the mind, does that include everything who are got a start and an end? I mean, thought and all the material, all the universe, all these things are minds. That's correct?
Well, if you're formless,
yeah.
Then, yeah, the thoughts would be what creates the manifestation, basically, you could say. Because just like when you believed yourself to be a body and you had thoughts, you could create mental images, mental pictures. When you dream, you create mental pictures, and it all arises formlessly. So all of this is just an appearance within the formlessness. And it is, you could say, if you had to compare at all, that it's thought. It's
okay, all the manifestations are arising from a thought.
It's arising from the sensation I exist.
All
because
the
sensation I exist makes you identify with an object in an apparent world. In reality,
okay.
It's just like the dream where it's just scenes and things are going and coming and all this. And you might identify with a character inside your dream as well, but you're not... you can't really say it's thought, because thinking is sort of... That brings in the concept of, oh, there's a thinker. And that's not exactly true. These are just appearances on spontaneous presence. And...
Okay, there's no thing. They all appears, and we just catch them.
Well, it's not we as individuals. It's
I mean, as
the formless presence that you are.
Yeah, okay.
This manifestation is occurring, and this is like a telescope to see within that manifestation. Because it's just an imagining, just like in a dream, maybe the dream world came first and then you recognized yourself within the dream. So the scenery and all of this was kind of built, pre-built, but you wouldn't know that until you knew yourself.
Yeah.
Once there's an identification with something within the dream, you can say, oh, this is a world. And then, of course, when you wake up, oh, this is not true. It was all nothing. And it arose formlessly, because when you wake up from the dream, you absolutely know, like, there wasn't a construction project to build the world in the dream. It just appeared.
Yeah.
And you could say, what comes first, you or the world? But you won't know yourself until you know yourself, then a world appears. So... And yet the five elements and all these sort of things, that's why if this particular body drops, you all could still be doing Tuesday talk, you know, every night if you wanted to, or, you know, every Tuesday, and there'd just be no body here, but the selfless self would still carry on speaking and listening throughout the other forms. This form would no longer be able to understand that there's a Tuesday talk, but that's just because this form would no longer be utilized by the formlessness in a knowing of I exist. Instead, the I exist feeling would continue within all of the other various forms, including you know, the flowers and the ducks and you know, little animals in the water and little fish and all these sort of things. This power, this energy, this presence permeates everything. That's why when you know yourself in a real sense, the concept of an individual birth or death, the individual, there's no individual to be born or to die. There's a form which will no longer be, just like right now we have these people and there's telescopes inside of the manifestation. When this telescope is no longer available, all these other telescopes are still available. And formless presence is just... It just is. It provides the background. Just like when we go to sleep at night, you could say consciousness, for lack of a better word, is the background that, boom, the spontaneous dream appears. And then suddenly there's an object that is identified with of a dreamer. And yet along with the object, the dream can be perceived of the whole totality, because you're seeing and all the people are, that you meet are in the dream and all this, and you're the total functioning of everything. And when the dreamer awakes, all the dream people disappear, but there's no birth or death for them either, because they were just appearances within that dream while that dream was occurring for a time.
John?
Yes, yes.
Can I say something? Last Tuesday's satsang, you mentioned that you get on the metro at one point and you get down from the at another point where your destination is. In between, there is no registration. And Nisargadatta Maharaj also says to a visitor, when the visitor says, "Oh, you have a routine, Maharaj, it looks like you are doing it, everything so proper." Then Maharaj says, "For you, it looks like I am there, I am not there." So I'm just contemplating that whole night, what John says, Nisargadatta Maharaj says, there is something there. I don't know what it is. And I was not fortunate enough to meet Nisargadatta Maharaj in person. Now John is here. I have to make use of this opportunity. And then as I was thinking, what happened was Maharaj also says, go back to your childhood. There was period you didn't know you exist, but everything was happening around you. So there, I never really went seriously into it. But that night I said, I have to go deeper into it. And I said, always I know my childhood was very, very happy childhood. It's not because I was pampered or anything. We were a sibling of seven, and my mom and they were always busy, but I was such a happy kid. Then I understood I wasn't there as an identity. It took, I think, 7-8 years. One incident, I became that I am came in. So then I said, what John is telling, Maharaj is telling, they're in that space. They're not identified with the body, but still everything goes. John does office work, comes home, everything happens, but he is not stuck with that identity. I had that glimpse of that childhood happiness. They are there always, even in the adulthood. So how to capture that back, John? No, that's my question.
The idea of trying to capture it back is probably not something that you want to hold, because then there's something there. You're creating an anchor. Yes. And you're also creating then a desire to experience something. And the experience is a non-experience.
Okay.
So you can remember, like as a small child, you were, you know, you had no concept of time. Mom and dad would just say, get in the car, we're going here, we're going there, we're going here, we're doing this. Maybe you sat in the back of the car and did something, played some game or something. So there was no experience of an experiencer that was created having an experience. And when you know yourself in the real sense, and that's why mantra is so important and remaining with that sense of presence, in the beginning, because it just flows. There's no experience, no experiencer. I did have one thing when my son, I used to take him to the bouncy house. And right after seeing Maharaj in like 2016, I think it was, I was sitting on the couch at the bouncy house and I was watching all the kids running and doing all this thing. And it suddenly like kind of impressed that this is just formless presence dancing.
Mm.
And that all of these forms that are enjoying all their selves are just enjoying. It's pure bliss. There's no like, you know, thoughts of what am I doing or how long, until of course it's mom and dad say it's time to leave. And then an identity is created of, I don't want to leave. But the movement and the play. And then you absolutely know that the whole world is two lumps of goo get together and create another little lump of goo. And that little lump of goo with the presence, with the knowingness, the power, the energy starts to go about. And until it's impressed that I am this lump of goo,
yes.
This is where then that identity comes of I am this. And mom and dad use the name to put for the body. But then there's a click that this is me. Mm-hmm. The things that I do, I'm doing. Mom says, good job for finishing your vegetables, or bad job for not finishing your vegetables. And the egoistic sense of being a doer is created because I'm good and I'm bad. And I do this thing and I try to do this thing. When I do this thing, people behave this way towards me. When I do that thing, people behave this way towards me. So you're starting to build this very heavy body identity. And thus you stop playing. You know, you're no longer like free and happy. And although there'll be times like in sports events and such where they talk about being in the zone, you forget yourself.
Yes.
Like think about all the famous basketball players. If they had to think of themselves while they're setting up their shots or while they're on the football field or running the plays, they cannot think of themselves. They're in the zone, which is just spontaneous presence, moving the power, the energy without a sense of doership until either a happy pass and they score a touchdown, then the sense of doership, I have scored this touchdown, arises. Or, oh, I dropped the ball, and this sense of I didn't do such a good job arises. That pleasure pain principle, that dualistic thinking can only be created when there's an identification with the form as me.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
It's so contradictory because you might identify with the positive or negative, and so which is the truth? Neither is the truth, and exactly. It just creates a conflict. And you don't know the conflict's there.
It's a trap because once you start taking positive, there's going to be negative. This is just the nature of the dualistic existence, the nature of the dualistic experience. That's why Maharaj says good weather is coming, bad weather is coming. This body is a five elemental body. Sometimes it's working perfectly, sometimes not so much. So if I take the touch that I'm very great, I will have to take the touch that I'm not so great. And thus I'll be in that pain and pleasure because then I'll say, wow, that was an amazing experience. I want to experience it again. What can I do to experience the experience that I had of not being something? But now I'm creating the identity of someone who would like to experience being nothing.
Mm.
And that's the, you know, I'm chasing like a tail with the dog and chasing.
So John, without identification, then the dancing energy, like the bouncy and none of the kids were having a sense of time. So without identification, life just moves.
Absolutely. Think about in the womb. When you were in your mother's womb, you didn't think, oh, I'm hoping that, you know, something is happening or this is happening. I hope that the birth goes well. I wonder what the earth is going to be like coming out of the womb. None of these things.
Right.
The hand was created quite nicely. You know, the five elemental goo, the power created the hand, created the body, the heart that's pumping blood, the brain, all these sort of things.
It's just happening.
And you didn't have anything to do with it.
Right. Yeah. Until we get identified, all these things are just happening.
Absolutely. Well, even when you're identified, the things are still happening. But now
you're still happening.
This extra layer.
Extra of layer.
Of I'm doing or these things are occurring to me.
Yeah.
I have to do this in order to get that. I have to be here in order to do this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Rather than just spontaneous action in the moment. The children that we're speaking about, they're spontaneous action.
Yes.
You know, they play on the bouncy house, they start to see pizza. Pizza comes, oh, dad bought pizza. Run to the pizza and go to eat.
Yeah.
That's a spontaneous action in the moment.
Right.
But most likely while they're playing, they're not thinking, how long is this pizza taking? It's a, but adults will sit there and look at their watch. Oh, the pizza's taking too long.
Yeah.
No, we have some place to be after this. The children are not, because they're free.
When they say you're not the doer.
You are not, you can't be. You're formless. You're using a form, yeah. That's true. And you could say that through this form, actions are occurring within you. But they can't be your actions if they're occurring within you.
Right.
I know this is a concept and I have to be careful of making it something, it's something I seem to know, but it was very clear to me today that it's my tendency to seemingly know being that traps me into feeling according to what I seem to know. And therefore I feel limited according to whatever. So, and if I, once I seem to know something, then I'm forgetting about all the stuff, all the other stuff that might pop up that I might seem to know, just like I might seem to be knowing that things are good right now in my experience.
And then, for who? And how is it good? It's good for the form that you're holding, but once you're no longer holding the form, how is it good for you?
Yeah, and I'll be forgetting that it can turn bad, supposedly known as being bad at any second.
Again, for the form.
Yeah,
but you have to remember, the you that you are, the formless holder of the body, can't be burned, can't be, you know, no broken limbs, no nothing.
Yeah, that, yeah, I guess I got to familiarize myself more with the that which is formless, but at least I'm getting clear on what form is arising because of it seems to be. It just seems to be. And it all started when I was young. And I mentioned this in the past. I had this when I was about 11 or 12 years old, maybe somewhere in there. I had this extreme desire to know everything. And it just like had me going almost crazy that I wanted to know everything. And I was like trying to get out of my body or something because it was just limiting me. But from, I think that was like, as you go into adolescence, it was just something that kind of occurred with me where the desire to know seemed to be something that was possible. And that I wanted it, but you can't really know everything. You just can't do it.
Well, the faculty of knowing is an illusion in itself. Because in order to have a knowing, there have to be things that are known. And that can only take place in the dualistic illusion.
Yeah, and I thought it was beaten.
Right away, knowing is finished. Mm. Even the concept of a knower. Because as soon as you have a knower, there's a knower that knows something. And that's, once again, in duality. You're within the bubble of illusion, and you just have to break free. That's why you remain with your selfless self. Just I, that presence. I identify with this presence. This presence is myself. And this presence is what's holding this body and all the other bodies. I can say this at a very level that I'm understanding. I am presence. Now I pay all the attention to presence, not the objects that are appearing within presence, because I know myself as presence. There will come a turn when you're only paying attention to presence, where that's that black hole. There's absence of everything. Even and from there, you're not trying to think or figure it out or anything. You just, there's no concepts. And should a concept come, you just continue to be with yourself. You turn towards yourself and away from all these, and you're just and now go about, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. You know, you can drive as yourself without having to create the identity of a driver. If you create the identity of a driver, then there'll be slow drivers and fast drivers, and I need this and I need that. And I'm sure, like on long drives, you drive to the beach, at least in our area, on Route 50, it's very peaceful, nice driving. You know, you're not really thinking about anything. You're just enjoying yourself, enjoying the drive without having to be a driver. Unless, of course, you're stuck in traffic. And then you might say, oh, I'm stuck in traffic. But there's no need to create an identity or an experience. And yet you're fully aware. Don't get me wrong. Don't be daydreaming and driving and run off the road. Because this is not what we're speaking about. We're speaking about just being with your own self without having to imagine being anything else, or imagine the imaginings or the illusory layers added on, or even thinking about your vacation that you're driving to. You're just yourself. Yet if you get hungry, you stop, you get something to eat. If you get tired, you go and you maybe get some coffee or something. That doesn't interfere with you.
If I'm always looking for a vacation, I'll never really find it. Vacation.
Well, you'll be having the vacation in your mind and then comparing the vacation that was illusion to the vacation in the reality, and missing the reality of the present moment and the arising experiences of spontaneous actions in the moment, because you're trying to create something out of imagination. This is what we do whenever we're having a troubling time. This imagination, because imagination is very strong, formless presence projecting this entire world. So, and at night in dreaming, we see how powerful the imagination is. It arises formlessly, an entire dream world, and we create scenes and dialogue and all kinds. We're like Hollywood movie producers. So you have to know.
And then
you just discard. Spontaneous action in the moment. Scenes are appearing and disappearing. There's no me there that says, I don't like this, or I want more of that, or I need this in order to have a better time, or anything like this. And if there is, if you do wind up in this disturbance of, I'm having a bad time wherever I may be, that's when, okay, that's a thought, that's a concept. There's no good or bad. I'm just going to remain with myself, with self. And now there can't be good or bad. There's going to be spontaneous action in the moment, scenes appearing and disappearing, and just a total acknowledgement of the freedom. As Maharaj says, you're a free bird, fly. You're absolutely free. There's no need to limit yourself.
Speaking of which, I'm going to leave a little bit early. So, Jai Guru.
Okay. Good doing. Jai Guru.
Ramana taught mostly in silence. When a questioner, a person would have a question, Ramana was silent and just gazed. And it eventually the question dissolved and the questioner dissolved in that gaze. I've always been drawn to the silence, and that's why I was interested in Ramana, as he had been in the silence for many years in the temple and in the cave before he started to speak. Thank you.